And it's really good to be with you this morning, this afternoon for us, almost evening. Just a few thoughts, try to keep it down to about 8 or 9 minutes. I'm sure many of you have heard of J.I. Packer, who died earlier this year. His classic book, Knowing God, was written in the 1970s when I was still in high school. This year, and I heard that he died, I decided to take out the book that we had here, Knowing God, and read portions of it for my morning devotions each day. And I've been chewing on it bit by bit, and looking at it, and thinking about it. And I'm taking my thoughts today from chapter 9, God Only Wise. A lot of what I'm going to share is inspired by that chapter. Let me read, first of all, 1 Corinthians 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Packer, in his book, says that wisdom in the Bible is not just an intellectual quality, it's also a moral one. It's the practical side of moral goodness. I think James, in chapter 3, verse 13, expresses this well when he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom." Packer goes on to say that wisdom in the Bible involves intelligence and cleverness harnessed in a way to accomplish the right purposes, harnessed in a way to accomplish God's purposes. He says this, "Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it." Now we know that God is the only one that is truly wise. Wisdom is integral to his character. And the wisdom of mankind can be limited or can be frustrated by someone else. But God's wisdom is never limited nor frustrated. However, in order for us human beings to understand God's wisdom, we have to understand his heart. And we have to understand the goal to which he is bringing all of creation. The goal, of course, we know, is not to give us a trouble-free life. It's not something which ignores our moral and spiritual state. It's not prosperity, gospel life, that we have health and wealth and freedom all the time, and that we have no troubles. But sometimes when trouble comes, we assume, or we are tempted to assume, that God is not in control. In trouble, we can fall into the trap of thinking that God's love and his power and his wisdom have somehow stopped working correctly. This has been a temptation that comes perhaps to some of you, but for me during this year of 2020. So God's goal is not to give us a trouble-free life. God's goal is that we be in fellowship with him, loving him and praising him. And that he be our all in all, our sufficiency in all things. As you know, the Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy it forever. This goal, of course, can only be fully realized when we are with him in eternity. But God is working now, in the meantime, to accomplish that goal in our lives. He works steadily toward that goal of bringing men and women into relationship with him, delivering them from the power of sin and evil. God calls and equips his people as well to spread this message of reconciliation and liberation to every corner of the world, as we are doing through this CIC. Jesus came, of course, to fulfill that plan in pave the way for deliverance and salvation. So Patrick goes on to say that this really struck me when I was reading it, and I thought quite a bit about it over the last few weeks since I read it. What are the implications for us now? What happens when setbacks and failures and uncertainties and discouragements and upsetting events happen? It doesn't mean God's plan has gone awry. 2020 has been full of setbacks and disappointments and uncertainties and events that we just could not have foreseen. COVID-19, racial and ethnic tensions, bitter political rivalries, fires, floods, hurricanes, terrorism, and just this past week for us, this awful kidnapping. Praise God that the person kidnapped was rescued. We know this person personally very well. But in these situations, we must remember that God, as Patrick says, God in his wisdom means to make something of us which we have not attained yet. That's his goal. Patrick suggests some ideas of how what God is performing, what God is doing in our lives. He may be strengthening us in patience, in good humor, in compassion, in love, in joy, in peace, and the other fruit of the Spirit. He may be teaching us to learn to trust not in ourselves, but in Him. He may be teaching us to deny ourselves, or breaking us of our complacency, our unreality, and our pride. He may want to draw us closer to Himself. And sometimes, may often, when the times are the most difficult, the fellowship with Him is the most sweet. He may be preparing us for a new type of service that we have not done before, or making us ready to be able to comfort others, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, with the comfort which we ourselves have received from Him. Or, as Paul says later on in 2 Corinthians, He might just be trying to make us more humble. Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh that he asked God to remove. And God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Humility. Packer says this: we need to trust God's wisdom even when He leaves us in the dark. That really struck me. Psalm 90, verse 12 says something similar. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So what's our response to the troubles, to the trials, to the disappointments, to the setbacks, to the battling situations? Packer gives two, and I'm going to add two of my own. First, Packer says, realize that these things come from God, and ask Him to show us what our attitude should be in them, faced with such difficulties, and ask Him to show us how we should respond. I know I haven't always responded well to all the situations that have happened to us this year. And God is teaching me how to do that. I'm still not there yet. Secondly, Pastor says we need to talk to God about the situation. He doesn't give a lot of detail, but I added a few thoughts. We need to seek His face, ask Him to show us what He wants to teach us. And also we need to be honest and tell Him our hurts, our needs, and our fears. Now, two other things that have helped me this year are to read the Psalms. And one Psalm that has been particularly meaningful to me this year is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long, O Lord, must I wrestle with my thoughts? That was the beginning of the chapter. And he goes on to express his confidence in the Lord. When he says, "But I trust in you. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me, and he remembers God's goodness as well. So that's the third thing. And number four, don't give up on him and his purposes. He is still sovereign. He is still working on his plan, and he will complete it in us. Thanks for the privilege.